There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
You are with the Mighty Manfred and Little Steven's Underground Garage. And now, dear listeners, we are on the precipice of today's coolest conversations. My guest is Spencer Alexander, bass player in the New York City area band Wildlife. Their single Neon Nightmare out on Wicked Cool Records. That's a recent coolest song in the world. Let's give some of that a listen, and then I'll be back on the line with Spencer for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Here, and I'm feeling especially lucky today because I get to yammer on some with Spencer Alexander, bass player in one of my favorite New York City area rock and roll bands, Wildlife. How are you, Spencer?
I'm doing great, Manfred. It's good to be talking with you today, my friend.
Well, I feel like I have to give some full disclosure here because the last time I played in New York City last June, the Woggles, we rocked with Wildlife at Coney Island, baby. And afterwards, the rock and roll hobo, the rock and roll tramp, had nowhere to go till my flight at like 8 or 9 in the morning. And you took me in, Spencer. You gave me sucker. You nourished me both with gin and tonic, and you provided me with your sumptuous bathroom facilities. So I was able to cleanse the filth from my body. Thank you again, Spencer, for your hospitality.
Of course, Manfred. I couldn't let you wander the mean streets of New York City alone, you know? Like, you know, you're all the way out here from L.A., you know? You're going to get lost and wander down some back alley. And
I know you were.
Again.
You were my guide. Now, tell me, Spencer, since you are a touring rock and roller, how often have you, in the words of Blanche DuBois, depended on the kindness of strangers?
Oh, my God. I mean, every city we go to, it's like we're, you know, there's always someone out, some rocker out there looking out for you, whether it be buying you a drink or putting you up, giving you a couch to sleep on. You know, it seems like we rely on that quite a bit. And, you know, most often people pull through for us. We're pretty lucky.
And so you return that favor when they come to the Big Apple, right? That's the deal.
I try the best I can. Yeah, always. You know, when I got my friends coming through, it's like, you know, you got to put them up and give them a place to stay and take care of them. You know, it's like, it's kind of, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And thanks again, because that night I had a terrible itch I couldn't reach. Now, I mentioned that you're the bass player in Wildlife. When did you start playing bass?
Oh, my God. Well, I started playing bass probably when I was about 12 years old or so. Yeah, so quite a while. I've always just been a bass player, not much else. You know, that's kind of my instrument. That's what I've always wanted to play. That's all I'll ever play, you know?
Well, if you could, like, be the bass player in any band ever, what band would you be playing bass with? A current band or an old band? What would be your ideal band to be playing bass with?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I mean, I've got so many bass players that I look up to, and Phil Lynott being one of them, you know, from the great Irish rock and roll band Thin Lizzy. He's one of my heroes. I love him because he's a great songwriter, great bass player, great singer, and a great frontman all at once. You know, he's kind of covering all his bases, you know, literally. and I guess, when you know, as a bass player, I never wanted to be that guy that stands in the back and doesn't do much, doesn't move around much, you know? I got to bring some energy to the table and move around and get the crowd moving, you know. I think that's one of the things wildlife does pretty well. But, yeah, I mean, who else do I look up to? I mean, Lemmy is one of my favorite bass players. You know, he's got such a great sound and interesting tone that no one else seems to have. Didi Ramon is another one of my favorites. He's just raw power on the bass, you know?
I love that you mentioned, too, about needing to move around, and you're sort of, you guys, Wildlife, really great on about putting on a show and really, you know, giving energy to the audience. And then, you know, they're going to give it back if they can. And then I think the whole night builds from that. Spencer, when you sold your soul to the devil to play rock and roll, were you a minor at the time? And if so, did your parents have to co-sign?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I was a minor at the time, and I was very fortunate to be given my first bass from my parents as like a Christmas gift. I think I was in the seventh grade or something, you know, and I was begging them for it, begging them, and finally they got it for me. They got me this sort of red Ibanez bass, which I still have, and I treasure that thing. But I was very lucky to kind of have their blessing in me selling my soul to the devil, and I haven't looked back since, you know. Once that rock and roll bug bit me, there was no turning back.
Wow.
You know how it is.
Yeah, so you were 12, and you told your folks, I don't want a, you know, like a six-string, I want a four-string, I want a bass. What got that bug biting you?
What I thought was cool about the bass was, you know, everybody played guitar, and, you know, where I was from, it's like, oh, I knew a couple kids playing guitar, I knew a couple kids playing drums, but no one seemed to be playing bass at all. And I was like, oh, this is interesting, this is a little different, so let me try this out, you know, and I asked them, begged them for that bass, you know.
Now, do either of your parents play an instrument?
No, not at all. I don't come from much of a musical family, although my grandmother's maiden name is Hudak, which means violinist or musician in Hungarian, right? Which is kind of cool.
That is cool. Yeah.
So I think it's in my blood. You know, I got some Hungarian gypsy blood, and it was always there. But, you know, my parents are not much, you know, not super musically oriented. We had some cool cassettes, some Stones cassettes, some Van Halen stuff growing up. Joan Jett was huge. But other than that, I kind of had to find it on my own, you know?
Well, that's very cool that they relented and gave you the bass, Dan.
Yeah, you know, I'm really lucky for that and grateful for that. And Mom and Pop, if you guys are listening, I love you.
Well, the brand new single is called Neon Nightmare. It's been on a week now on Wicked Cool Records. It's also our coolest song in the world this week. Tell me about it. Like, when and where did you record Neon Nightmare?
So we just threw that down in May at Renegade Studios, Lil Stevens, you know, recording studio in the West Village, New York City. Yeah, so we were kind of hunkering down, trying to bang that out, get a single out for, you know, as soon as possible, because I forget when we put our last single out, but it's been a minute and people have been begging us for new tunes.
Right.
So we've been working hard trying to get that out, and even recording some other tracks, which should be out shortly, but, you know, this left to do for now.
Well, you mentioned working at Steven's studio. Now, the engineers there is Jeff Sanoff. Is that the first time is that the first time you worked with Jeff?
Let's see. He did some mixing for us for our last full length Out on Your Block. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of brought the track to him and Sam, our guitar player, brother Sam Allen, kind of worked on mixing it together. So that was one of our first experiences with him. And then we did our last single, Come On Christine, with him at Renegade Studios.
Oh,
he was kind of helping produce and engineer all that. And he's a great dude. Love that guy. A lot of fun. Yep. You know, he sets a great vibe in the studio, and he's honest, you know, which I think are two very important things for a producer to bring to the table.
Right. Well, my notes say that Dave and Sam wrote Neon Nightmare. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
And do you know who had the initial idea and how those guys worked it up?
You know, they kind of have, the two of them have this mysterious alchemy when it comes to songwriting. They, you know, Dave will kind of bring the lyrics to the table and have an idea as far as melody goes and, you know, chords, and, you know, sit down with Sam and they'll work it out and kind of go back and forth and kind of get a good idea of where they want the song to go. And then they'll bring it to me and brother Stevie Dios, and we'll hash everything out in our rehearsal space and, you know, get the arrangements going and bang it all out. And we kind of try to get all that worked out before we head to the studio,
right,
not waste time, and you know, get caught up in all that BS, you know what I mean?
All right. Yeah, definitely. Now, the singles cover art, you did that, right?
That's right. Yes, I did. Yeah, I do pretty much all the Wildlife album artwork and posters and shirt designs and whatnot. Yeah.
Well, can you describe the Neon Nightmare cover to folks out there in satellite radio listening land who may not have seen it yet?
Yeah. So essentially, what you've got is a giant cobra spitting an eight ball out of its mouth at the viewer. It's kind of one of those things I thought about, and I actually just banged it out in one night. You know, we had some tight deadlines, so I was like, I think the idea came to me. I was just walking around Coney Island with a buddy of mine, looking at all the freak show stuff and Spookorama, and it kind of just got flowing from there. Originally, I thought maybe a clown might be cool, spitting the eight ball out of its mouth, but we ended up on a cobra.
Yeah, much cooler. Cobras,
much cooler, much tougher. Yeah.
Well, I seem to remember when I was hanging out with you there at your place. Now, you went to art school somewhere. Am I remembering that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I studied printmaking and fine art at SUNY Purchase in Westchester County, New York, and that's actually where I met Sam. He was studying studio production there.
Oh wow! So you guys have got some history going back before the forming of the band, then.
Yeah. Well, like, Sam and Dave, they've been playing together since high school. And so, I met Sam on campus and we ended up getting along, talking about rock and roll. We were like, all right, we got a common thread here. So I go to lug my bass amp down to his dorm room and we jam. And, he's like, I got some tunes. Let's jam them out. You know, that's essentially where everything started to pick up. And I was like, man, these guys are talented songwriters. I'm sticking with them, you know?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Does rock and roll give you enough opportunities as an artist? Do you do stuff for other bands at any time ever?
Yeah, totally. You know, I try to do that stuff as much as I can. Especially working with Wicked Cool, I've done our releases and I've done stuff for Chris Rogers and the Dirty Gem and various bands from all over the Pale Lips from Montreal. I've done some of their artwork. You know, I'll do other posters for bands. I love doing that stuff. It's so much fun.
Well, let me ask you about that. Is it ever difficult, or when you're doing artwork for a band, is there like you're just dealing with one person, or are you getting all like having to deal with a whole committee of folks telling you this and that?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, sometimes a band will come and say, we trust you. Do whatever you want, run free, and that's always the best scenario.
Yeah.
But other times, you got to please everyone, which is kind of the case with Wildlife. You know, I say my own band is my toughest client. I got to make everyone happy, you know. And I take our album artwork super seriously. But yeah, you never really know what you're gonna get till you're there and you get those first sketches out. And you know, sometimes you can be going back and forth for ages, and you're just like, just kill me now. Why did I even take on this project? You know,
that's
the beauty of it, you know?
Yeah. Well,
every job is a little different.
Well, absolutely. I was thinking every time I've got dealing with my own band and we've got somebody, if we have somebody different, or even the guy, Scott Sugiuchi, who we used for a long time, I preface everything with, I'm sorry that you're going to be put through this again for the first time.
Yeah.
You know. Now, whose idea was to put the single out on this neon green vinyl?
That was kind of, we didn't have a lot of time to decide. And like I said, you know, there can be a lot of back and forth with bands. And that's the case with our band. So I'm like, all right, here's our vinyl options. And luckily, it actually came together. We're like, all right, well, the single's Neon Nightmare. Let's do like a cool neon green vinyl, you know? Something that kind of speaks to it, so that, you know, I think it works, and it kind of matches the color of the green cobra on the cover. So that, you know, it came together pretty quickly.
Have you guys done any other colors, any other vinyl colors for any of your other releases?
Oh yeah, we always try to do cool vinyl when we have the chance. You know, I guess even our first full length, which we put out ourselves, we did that on like a bright orange red vinyl. Then the second full length was green. Third one was white. You know, like the last single was pink to match the lips of the Come On Christine single. So we're always trying to, you know, it's kind of a little more of an incentive, like for when someone's at a merch table, I'm like, oh, cool, they got colored vinyl, you know? It's way more interesting than some basic black stuff, you know?
Oh, I agree. Man, when's your next gig?
The next gig, well, let's see. We just play one at Berlin and on the Lower East Side. So, you know, we're just working on recording more tunes now. Yeah. We've got some, we're working on some Midwest tour dates coming up in December.
All right.
So you can stay posted for those.
Now, when you say Midwest, does that include Cleveland and Chicago, or is it predominantly like in Ohio or in Indiana? Where all in the Midwest would you guys be heading through?
Well, see, right now we've got just 3 dates booked so far. I think we're trying to book them. We got Indianapolis. That's a fun rock and roll town. We got some good friends out there. You know, speaking of hospitality, our buddies in Indy always take care of us. Then Milwaukee. We're gonna hit that one for sure. Another great rock and roll town, Beer City, and then Chicago, of course.
Well, where do you play in Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, let's see, we played, I think, a spot called it Drunken Monkey.
You ever play the Cactus Club?
You know what? We haven't, but I was just talking to a buddy of mine who works there, so maybe that might be where we're hitting. We'll see. I hear that's a cool spot.
It is a very cool spot. First played there, and it was just a very small room and just set up on the floor kind of thing. But since that time, they put it like a big stage in there, and it's not took the ceiling out, so it's like a high ceiling, and it's kind of, you're in the front part of this like little bar, and then you go through this back through this door, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, you're in a rock venue, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that sounds awesome. We got to try to make that happen then.
Yeah. Now I want you to tell me some about the B-side, I'm Just Losing That Girl. To me, I'll say first, it's got kind of this Wilco Johnson kind of Dr. Feelgood kind of guitar riff. Did Sam and Dave write that one as well, or who did?
No, that's a cover tune of a French band called The Dogs, or Les Dogs. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I know they're from France, and they formed in the early 70s, and I think they were active till like the early 2000s, you know. But Dave brought that to the table, and he's like, you know, this would be a cool cover to throw into the set. So we've been playing that for years, and then finally we're like, all right, well, what's the B-side we're going to throw on the record? Let's do I'm Just Losing That Girl, you know. We had that unlocked, so we're just like, let's throw it down in the studio, bang it out.
Yeah, fun. Bang it out. It's not even a minute 45, and I love that it clocks in totally. At under 2 minutes. What's like an optimum song length to you?
You know, I think we try to keep them all pretty short and sweet. Yeah. I feel like, you know, like 2:30 max, right? You know,
yeah.
2 minutes, 30 seconds, that's all you need. I feel like we come from that Ramon school of short and sweet poppy songs, you know?
Did you record it at the same time as Neon Nightmare?
Yeah. We went in trying to churn them out as fast as we could. So, you know, we did all the basic tracks, you know, did a guitar, bass, drums live, and then Brother Sam goes in, throws in all the guitar overdubs. So it's kind of, we're just like banging them out.
You're just a rock and roll machine, Spencer. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, well, that's the goddamn truth.
Spencer!
Can't lie with that.
Spencer, thanks again for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Oh, man, thanks for having me, man. It's always good hanging and talking with you.
Well, let's flip your new single over and fire up that B-side with I'm Just Losing That Girl. It's Wildlife and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Tell me what you really want. Did you really want me to feel like a fool? So I talked to her, but it's too late. Trying to be so funny, she doesn't seem to care.
Just Losing That Girl. It's Wildlife and Little Steven's Underground Garage with a B-side to their single Neon Nightmare. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's bass player, Spencer Alexander, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Remember to follow and subscribe. And next week, my guest is going to be Ronnie Barnett, bass player in The Muffs, and we'll talk about their new album, No Holiday, as well as the passing of their dynamic and talented frontwoman, Kim Shattuck. That's next week's Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.